All right, we are now joined by tonight's winner of the Bennett 250 at Atlanta Motor Speedway and driver of the number 21 Richard Childress Racing Chevrolet, Austin Hill. Austin, before we get started taking questions from the media, I did want to read out some stats provided by Racing Insights because the significance of your performance tonight cannot be understated. 734 laps led on drafting tracks, the most of all time. Eighth drafting track win, tied for the most of all time. Led 146 laps. It's the most laps you've ever led in a race, along with ran 155 laps in the top two and all laps in the top four. All that in your home state of Georgia with Ben as the entitlement partner. Just what does all that mean to you?
Well, I mean, it means a lot. I know Junior's probably going to be mad about it because he doesn't think Atlanta's a drafting track. But like I think I had told Junior this before, don't hate the player, hate the game. So, I have more opportunities at being able to run a super speedway style race. And everybody at RCR, ECR has been able to just give me a super fast Bennett Chevrolet each and every week. And it's just so much fun to strap into my number one Bennett Chevrolet, or number 21, rather, Bennett Chevrolet. Each and every week, and you know, to do what we did tonight was very special. I came off of Daytona when I was pretty mad. Let's just leave it at that. I was very frustrated. Not mad at the team because these things happen, mechanical issues happen, that type of stuff. But I was just very, very frustrated that we, you know, didn't lose that race on my own terms, didn't lose the race because of something that I did wrong. I hated it for the team, and I pumped everybody up going into Atlanta this weekend. And I think myself included, but the entire 21 team just had that little extra ump and that little extra pep in their step that, like, we're going and we're winning this race. And to be able to do it the way that we did it, all those things is super special. To break the record, like you're saying, and leading the most laps is really cool too. But To do it in the fashion that we did it, and it being the Bennett Transportation and Logistics 250, my primary sponsor, what better way of doing it the way that we did it? So such a special night. I'm going to party pretty hard for this one, but then come Monday, it's back to work, and we're going to get ready for COTA and try to keep the streak alive with RCR getting these wins.
All right. Well, we'll begin taking the questions now from the media. We'll go to Steven, Jacob, and then Holly up front.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Austin, I guess as a follow-up to what we talked about yesterday in terms of you treating Atlanta almost like a new racetrack each time you come here now, given that, what was the track like this time around, and then how much or what do you expect from this place when you come back here in June?
It was definitely a mixture of needing drivability but also needing raw speed, and that's kind of what we went with. That's what we built into our Bennett Chevrolet, and I got to give, you know, tip of the cap to Chad Haney, my crew chief. That's his first ever NASCAR Xfinity Series crew chief win. So that was really cool to get that for him, get it so early in the season. Him and I, that's our second race ever together. We were able to work, you know, during the off season together and learn each other and that type of thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, it's one of those special things to be able to do. And for somebody like him that's been in the sport for a really long time and now he's finally a crew chief, I think that gives him confidence, gives me confidence in us working together. But to your question, I think that when we come back here in the fall, I think it's going to be big handling. I mean, it was extremely cold out tonight, right? And handling was still somewhat of an issue. I mean, there were times that I went to drive and go wrap the bottom, and I had moments where, like, the car was unstable and it was moving around. So I think that the more that this track ages, the more handling is going to be a factor, and you're going to have to end up, you know, if it's going to be 90 degrees out, you're maybe going to have to bring a full downforce car, like a full mile and a half style race car. I don't know if we're to that point yet, but it's getting close. So this race was definitely different than races prior that I've been in. You know, I was telling you, I come in here with that mindset of new race, all that stuff. it was definitely a different race than what I've had in the past. The bottom lane worked a little better than what I was expecting. So there's things still to learn and to get better at. And the great thing about it is we led all these out laps. We did all these things that we did, and we can still make our race car better.
Thanks, Austin. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
Let's go to Jacob next.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital, Austin. So first, that's mission accomplished because you came in here yesterday and said they're expecting me to go win the race. So what yeah. was the conversation when you first got to Victory Lane and all the execs are finally there?
Yeah, that was extremely special. You know, they had over 500 people here from Bennett, and there I don't know how many people were in the picture for Victory Lane, but there was a lot. And you know, there was definitely a lot of pressure, and you know, the intensity was very high going into this weekend just because I knew what was at stake. I had seen the trophy prior, and I had seen it, you know, Lynette Mathis had sent it to me earlier in the week and said, no pressure, but here's the trophy, and she has a pitcher holding it, and she's like, you need to win it. And I'm like, I mean, I'm going to give it all I got, and I know the 21 team's going to give it all they have, but it's not hard to or it's not easy to win these races. I know at times we make it look easy, and we've won five times here, such a great accomplishment, but you can never get complacent. You can never think that you just own the racetrack. You can never – it doesn't matter if I've won here 10 times. I will never sit here and say that I own this racetrack because there's so many good competitors. It's so hard to win. Yes, we dominated the race tonight, but then doing it in the fashion that we did with the three laps to go, you don't know what's going to happen. And we was able to get the big push from the four and all those things. So – it's just extremely special to sit up here, talk to all of you, and to be in Victory Lane with it being the Bennett 250. They you know, last year they had the 50-year anniversary deal, and I was able to win that race, and then now they have this. So it seems to me like they need to be sponsoring some more races and stuff because they're a really good luck charm for me right now.
So I do have a genuine follow-up, but just – playing off what you said then. So you're not going to petition Brandon Hutchinson for the deed to this racetrack yet?
No, I'm not going to do that. You know, we've done very well at the reconfiguration, and we've won a lot of races, but it's not easy. I can't stress that enough. I know that at times we might make it look easy with our 21 team, and our car just looks – our Bennett Chevrolet looks just so fast that nobody can hang with us, but – It really isn't that easy. I mean, you are constantly working in there, and there are so many other great drivers in the Xfinity Series. So every win is very special, and you never know when your last win, you know, could be. You don't know if this is going to be my last win. So I always celebrate it the same way that I celebrated my very first win, and I'm going to keep doing that for a long time, hopefully.
Did you have a chip on your shoulder leaving Daytona with how that ended?
For sure, 100%. Yeah, leaving Daytona – I was mad and angry and upset, and I was just mad in general that all the work that we did in the offseason leading up into Daytona, and I didn't blame our team at all. I did not blame the 21 team one bit. I knew that mechanical failures can happen. I mean, this is racing. You know, there's so many moving parts inside these race cars that things like this could happen. And I think everybody else had a chip on their shoulder just as much as I did, and we came here and we proved it tonight.
I'm going to go to Holly, then Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations, Austin. Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. Could you talk a little bit about those last three laps to have been as dominant as you were all race and then to have to really get after it to pull the final thing off?
Yeah, I really need to go back and watch it. I haven't, you know, obviously I haven't seen it, but it felt insane inside the race car. I knew it was going to be really hard when the two junior cars chose bottom, and then I had the 19 car behind me because the 7 and the 8 were working really good together all night. They could push really well. They could break my bubble pretty well, the bubble that we talk about in the back of these race cars. They could break the bubble pretty well and get within 2 feet of me at times. And I know the 19 had somebody that's, you know, been in the Cup Series. He's obviously, he knows what he's doing. But I don't know if his car was just a little off or what it was, but he didn't push me very well like the 7 did on the on that final restart. And I thought we were in trouble. I was side drafting as much as I could on the 7's door, and then I was on the 8's door trying to pull the 8 off the 7. And then going down the backstretch, it was very strange to me that the 7 didn't go up and block the run that I had down the backstretch. My full intent was that he was going to come up going down the backstretch once he was clear, and then I was going to have to make a decision on, do I get a big run, and if I get clear of the inside lane, hang a left and try to drive back around him, or do I wait and try to build a run coming back to the line and try to make the move down into turn 1. And when he left that outside lane open, I was like, man, this is a gift. And I drove by him, got clear of him, and then we drove off in the next corner. I was jacked up. The guy behind me was pushing me. I don't remember who it was, a 7 or 19, but pushing me really, really hard. I was sideways. And then the 19 had a really big run going into 3 coming to the white. And I saw him turn down and get underneath me, but I didn't want to give up my right rear. I didn't want him to get to my outside because I knew that's where the place you needed to be. And sure enough, as soon as he turned left, I had help from behind with Parker Retzloff in the 4 car, and he was able to push me all the way down the front stretch, clear me, and then when we got into turn 1, it was just, I got clear, and I'm watching my mirrors. They wreck out back, and once they wrecked, all the energy just kind of dispersed in the draft that we did have, and I was able to just bring it on home. No, I mean, I always have the utmost confidence in myself and in my team, but when it comes down to these like 3-lap shootouts or green, white, checkered, anything can happen. You have to have the right pushers. You got to do all the right things right to win these races. And tonight we were able to do that.
Go ahead, Lee.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. So you win number 99 for RCR. Is there a bounty for number 100? Because, I mean, that's a huge milestone for any company to get their 100th Xfinity win.
Well, I definitely hope that myself and the 21 team are able to do that, and I hope we're able to do that, you know, this season. We're starting the season off on the right foot. I strongly believe that we were going to have a very, very highly good chance at winning Daytona. Was not able to get the job done with the mechanical issue, and then we were able to have some redemption going into this weekend. And I really, truly think that we're probably going to be strong all year this year. Time will tell. Who knows? I don't like to speak too soon and, step on my own foot. But I do think that we're going to have a really strong season. I think that everybody at RCR, ECR has been working extremely hard in this offseason. Chad Haney, my crew chief, and I, we've worked extremely hard together. And hopefully going into COTA, I've been so close at winning one of these road courses. I hope going into COTA that we can be the one on top and we can be sitting here talking to all of you and have that 100th win. It would be extremely special.
We're going to go back up here to Chris, then to Cameron, and then over here to the right.
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Congrats, Austin. To follow up on COTA, do you feel like you have unfinished business knowing what happened there last year and how close you were to getting that road course win?
I mean, I don't know if I have unfinished business. I think that we're very strong at all the races we go to, especially the road courses. We always are a threat. We're always inside the top 5, top 3 at times. And we have been so close so many times. You know, I you go back to last year, I might have gave the SVG a little bit of a shove getting into 1, not nothing malicious or anything. Like, him and I both raced it out off of turn 1, and I just was basically going off of what he did the restart before. You know, going back and watching that race, he kind of used up that outside lane. He just drove in there and just completely used up and was like, hey, this is my corner, and used those cars up. So I figured it was free game at that point as soon as he did that, knowing what he was going to do to try to win the race. So I kind of had that same mindset going into 1, was able to run back around, take the white, and then, yeah, it was unfortunate what happened getting in through 13, 14, 15, 16 right there, him getting in the back of us. And, you know, it's racing. Things are going to happen. But I feel very strong. I know that they're changing the course and it's going to be shorter now. But I feel like if we bring a similar car to what we had last year and just massage on it and tune on it, I think we're going to be really close and have a really good shot at it. Yeah, thanks.
Go to Cameron up here next.
Cameron Richardson, NASCAR.com. Austin, I'm curious, you know, you just said it's not easy to get around here, so I'm curious about how you go about finding that sweet spot and communication you want to hear from Derek Nealon about, you know, where the runs are coming from and how you manage both lanes here versus a Daytona or a Talladega.
Well, him and I have been working, you know, ever since 22 when I first started RCR, him and I have been working together, and we just hit it off. It was just one of those things. Derek and I hit it off from the first race, was able to win Daytona right at the season opener, and have been able to just kind of build on that throughout the seasons and throughout the years. And Atlanta does race a lot different than a Daytona or Talladega. Him and I talk about that some, but him and I both have a very good understanding in each other. And it's funny because there is, you know, a lot of times that he comes over the radio, he keys up, and he's about to say something. And before he even gets it fully out of his mouth, I already know exactly what he's saying. And having a guy like Derek Nealon on top of the spotter stand and him and I being so in sync with each other is half the battle of being able to win at a place like this or a place like Daytona or Talladega. And so him and I just work really great together. We understand each other. He knows what I'm willing to do. I know what he's willing to do. I know what he's going to say on the radio, when he's going to say it, how he's going to say it, all those things. And him and I just work really, really good together. I hope that him and I can work together for a very, very long time and throughout, you know, a long part of my career.
All right, we'll close with two questions in the back.
Alfa Romeo, Southern Race Week Radio. You were talking about how valuable a win is, and you never know if this is going to be your last win. But when you have an opportunity to win and your family's here, how special is that to be able to enjoy that win, that victory, and have your family here to enjoy it with you?
Yeah, you know, all the five wins that I've had here at Atlanta, they're extremely special. Obviously, you know, you see in the back room right here, we have the whole 21 camp right here behind me. You know, all of my friends, family, you know, you name it, just everyone's come out and support me, and that makes me dig even deeper than I already do. Every week I dig as deep as I possibly can dig each and every week, and knowing that it's a place like Atlanta, knowing what we can do at Atlanta, and to have, you know, all of them here in the back room supporting me, it goes a long way, because family comes first to me, you know, it really does. And I love racing and all that, and to be able to win races and celebrate it like we're going to do tonight is really special.
Wrap up here.
Hey, Austin. Doug Turnbull from PRN and the 5 to Go podcast. This is not nearly as good as Alfred's question, but I just wanted to know, there was a surprising moment, I think, in stage two, where, or maybe it was stage one, where your teammate Jesse Love just popped around you, went back into the lead, and it was one of the only when things were single file, that was like the only pass for the lead under single file for most of the day. Were you surprised to see it, and is that why it happened? Do you think he was trying something, or what was going on there?
I wasn't surprised to see it. I was playing with a lot of different things. I don't want to speak too much on it because I don't want to give away all my secrets. But, you know, there was things that I was playing with when I was leading, at how the two car was gaining runs on me and where he was gaining runs. And it was just one of those instances where down the front stretch, I kind of got gapped out a little farther than I really wanted to. And he had a pretty good run and he turned left. I could have probably blocked it and we probably wouldn't have wrecked or anything. Like, he probably would just gave me a good shot, but he's my teammate. So I'm like, I'm just going to let him go. And I guess it was like two or three laps later, I drove back around him and I was like, it was actually nice that happened, even though I wasn't really trying to make it happen, because I learned something from that. Like, as soon as he drove around me, I'm like, okay, I know where my limit is down the front stretch. And I was also able to back off of the two car to the guy behind me, you know, get a huge run down the front stretch, pull out of line, side draft him late, and then was able to still clear him without anybody around me. So I learned a lot of that, and I was putting that in my memory bank for later. Luckily, we didn't have to do none of that late in the race and have to build a run and try to drive around somebody, but it was actually nice that it happened. But yeah, it was one of those things that I was just playing with stuff up front. He got a run, and I wouldn't say that I was caught off guard by it, but it made me be that much more like, all right, I got to buckle down here and really work hard at keeping this lead.
All right, well, Austin, appreciate your time tonight. Enjoy the win.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, guys.